Freya Ridings and Castles, Dermot and Dave on Today FM. Bernard O'Shea's here.
It was something to do with premature ejaculation. But it is my favourite thing in the world. The jokes, the bad jokes.
Dave's World bad jokes. Dave
just did them there.
Stop
yeah.
Stop bigging him up. Bernard.
No, big me up. No one else does in here. Thank you, Bernard.
If you keep doing that, then we have to start putting Dave's World into our live show. And at the moment, thank you very much. It's not in there, and that's the way it's going to stay.
Actually, that's not true.
And I do watch Dermot's rants about political things as well.
What do you think about
them? No one gives a shit about the environment. it's true. Do you know what you should do now? I tell you what you should do. You should give out. You should put in the same emphasis and the same energy into to people that stop on narrow streets for conversations. It's like, why would you do that? Oh, sorry, excuse me. Sorry. Do you know what? You should put the same energy into people who are in a queue for a deli when they see a massive queue behind them, go, oh, I don't know what I want. I know what I want. I want to bring you out and shoot you in the head because there's 15 people here trying to get their sandwich.
They're also known as the What Are You Getting
Brigade. What are you getting? I don't know what I want.
I used to be a What Are You Getting.
He was.
My friends used to slag me growing up because I used to, What are you getting? I used to panic when I got to the counter. Not anymore. Thankfully, it's something I grew out of. But I do have sympathy for the what are you getting.
How can you have sympathy for this? It's like people who get down to the exit of a car park, park their car in the middle of the thing and go, hi, to pay for the parking? And you're like, yeah, four flights up where your car was, there's a machine.
I prefer Dave's bad jokes now, nice. Dave.
You're not wrong, Bernard. You're not wrong.
Or... I have to say, Minister, you're right in your comments, because one of the funniest things in the world is when, and it's always good when it's a man, as opposed to really, when they just park too far away from clicking the button to get the ticket out, and they have to get out of their cars, and it's like everyone in the car is going, oh, this is a fine everything, I got you, Wally.
Again, can I put myself in that category? I never get it right. I always have to do this super long lean, realize that I can't do it, then you got to get the seatbelt off, then you got to open the thing, and then you don't have to go enough to justify actually opening the door. It's terribly embarrassing.
And then you're saying, Daddy, why are you such a failure?
We should give you a proper introduction because we kind of fell into the interview there. This is Bernard O'Shea, musician, comedian, and now author. He's got a new book, which we're going to talk about in a second.
I have a new book out. It's, I would say, about my book. Mm. Genuinely, if you want to change your life a little bit, and if you want to say, just have... maybe a little bit more money in your bank account, maybe have a better sex life, maybe have a better relationship with your current partner or whatever. If you want, say you have children and you want them just to grow up a little bit better, this is not the book for you.
My wife is married to a feckin' Egypt,
yes,
it's called.
It was originally, can we do the interview? Sorry, this is a bit of random. I was thinking about this coming in on the train. Good morning, Aaron Wood Aaron. while I was ordering.
Good morning, Bernard.
While I was ordering, I'm going to do all my ads. Now, while I was ordering my just no, but and a disco music came on, and I thought every interview serious should be done with disco. Have you got Boogie Nights?
We can arrange that for you, Bernard.
What's that? Is that Boogie Nights?
Boogie Wonderland.
That, yeah.
So,
no, so you can't. So, Bernard, your father died, yeah. Boogie Wonderland.
Bernard, are you fearful of how Brexit will affect book sales?
Maybe. Dave, I think it's kind of...
See, I can't stop moving.
Your shoulders keep just jiving.
Do you think this could be something Matt Cooper could take on board with The Last Word?
Yeah.
Just to add a new dimension to current affairs?
Just do disco music when the interview gets tough. Mm. It's like, answer the question.
Minister.
Yeah, so I wrote a book called My Wife is Married to a Feckin' Egypt, because she said it to me. She said, I'm married in Egypt. And I said, you should log that as a website. And she did. She logged it as a website. She put it on a floppy disk and posted it to Santa Claus. And
did she buy that domain?
She bought that domain, yeah. So I went, fantastic. And then my agent just, this is how uncool it was, my agent just rang me and said, listen, the Gill Publishing want to meet you. And I went, okay, you've libeled a few people and you're in the High Court tomorrow. And so I met them and they said, look, would you be interested in writing a book? And I had this book about this guy who hangs out with a couple of lads and they betray him and then he dies and he comes back, but it's been done. So...
right.
But, so I said, no, I have no ideas. And I said then, look, my wife says I'm married to Feganese. She's done the domain. And said, oh, why? And I said, well, I did this thing with the dishwasher once, and I did this thing once with cats having sex out in her apartment. I did this thing on a holiday where, and they went, oh my God, that's the book.
Write that.
That's the book. And I went home. She says, look, here's the list of the stupid, idiotic things you've done. And she had like maybe 27 or 8 things.
So
on
in,
her,
in a way, she wrote the book.
No, Dave, she gets no copyright. That gets nothing.
Well, tell me about the dishwasher. What happened with the dishwasher?
Like Willy Wonka.
You get nothing.
Read the small print.
But why are you wearing that suit? Do you not think it's odd that you're bringing children into your factory?
And locking the gates behind us.
Tell us about the dishwasher.
So, thank you, Dave. Bring it back to normality.
Yes. Normality, yeah.
Dishwasher. So, we had such a row once. We were living in a flat in Kilmainham, and the row got so bad that over the who should do the dishes. And I always wanted to get a dishwasher. So we don't need it. There's only two of us.
Yeah.
So it got so bad that we ended up with nothing in the house to eat off. Nothing. Nothing. The row got so bad, came back once, and she'd bought paper plates and plastic forks.
Wow.
Now, if you're caught with a plastic fork now, you do jail, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Same with, I have a film idea called The Last Straw, where basically the only man left on earth has a plastic straw and people just drink out of it as a kick.
Down back alleys.
Yeah. Greta Grunberg is following them from her own all-seeing eye, like the Raven. And but anyway, so she got paper plates, and I went, "This is ridiculous." So then I washed one plate and ate a Twix with a knife and fork on it.
Oh my God! Are you serious?
Yeah. And then there was tears, and then I said, "Look, we're getting a dishwasher." And she goes, "You can get your dishwasher." Blah blah. One thing led to another. The dishwasher came, and your man comes in with the dishwasher. And I become a man then, going, oh yeah, I can put it in the dishwasher, having a breeze, right? And the floorboards where the dryer was had gone rotten.
Okay.
So he went, you're going to have to have something wood, right? So I said, well, I have a yoga mat, do? He goes, yeah, it'd be perfect. So I put her brand new yoga mat on under the dishwasher and then put all the dishes in and had no dishwashing tablets. So I went, yeah. I know what I'll do. I'll spray the whole thing with fairy.
Oh Jesus.
So I sprayed the thing and went into town to replace her yoga mat, right? And when I came back, I swear to God, I opened the door and there was bubbles. The entire flat was filled with bubbles. There was just bubbles everywhere, right? And if you just tuned in, I'm not talking about Michael Jackson's ex-monkey, I'm talking about a dishwasher with fairy. It was, like, literally, it got so bad, I had to open the windows and push bubbles out of the window, right? And I ended up with towels.
That was a Michael Jackson story.
And pushed it, got the whole flat, right? And it was sparkling. And she came back, she went, I'm not going to believe what's happened on the alleyway. There's all these bubbles. So that was just one of the things. The other thing, I suppose, what other kind of things, idiotic things that have I done? This worked for a small time.
Go on.
Because the way flats have been built, there's all plastic pipes in them now. There's no good copper pipe, right? As the rubber bands, copper pipe, right? There's no copper pipe anymore. So, like, you know, they burn through with oil and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that. So that's what happened to our sink. But all it needed was...
You're pouring boiling oil down your sink.
That was
sink.
A different story. Yeah, I thought I created this thing. So I cut off the pipe and I pushed it up, but it wouldn't stay under. And I thought, it needs a sealant. So I got a condom, cut off the condom and used a condom as the sealant. And it worked perfectly for months and months and months until my wife opened it around the sink and went, there's a big bulging freaking condom full of water on your
burn it. Okay.
And when the plumber came, he was going, who fixed the sink with a blade and Jenny? So I was going, not me, all the tradesmen that come to my house are from North County Dublin.
Did you buy your wife Lorna a vacuum cleaner?
I did, because she asked for it. She asked for a vacuum cleaner. God, did I just create the most unusual? She asked for a vacuum cleaner.
Mm.
She lights the fire in the house. There's no point in having a fire in any modern day house. As I say, like when I woke up in Leash for 18 years, I was cold every morning. Even in the summer, I was cold. I wouldn't move my foot to the side. I'd be cold. My kids will never wake up cold. Never. She goes, oh, I love a fire. I love sitting by the fire. Goes, yeah, but you know, the house is insulated with insulation.
What a catch you are.
Yeah, but like before when houses were insulated with hope, now like there's actual, the house is insulated. So she lights the fire, the whole house gets too warm, then we have to put it, but she won't clean out the fireplace. And that's not one of those zengzy things that people say, what do you call it when you're trying to, the euphemism. That's a real thing. She won't clean out the fireplace.
I'm
right?
So glad that's not a euphemism. That is terrible.
So what I've red hair, so it could work for me, but she won't clean it out, right? So I end up cleaning out the fireplace on something that I didn't want in the first place. So she kept saying, there's ash vacuum cleaners, there's ash vacuum cleaners. So one Christmas Eve, she rang me and says, don't go into Dundrum now and get me jewellery, which I always do on Christmas Eve because I forget it's Christmas.
Yeah, there's no reminders around the place.
Well, there isn't. I don't care. I don't really worry about dates and times anymore, David.
Right. But you've gone beyond that.
Gone beyond it. She said, don't get me jewellery. I don't wear jewellery. And I was actually in a jewellery shop. And I said, fine. So I was driving home past the Walkinstown roundabout and there was... a hardware shop open, one of those ones with the big yellow sign outside.
Oh, yeah. Expert hardware, yeah.
And I was looking around everywhere. And they had an ash vacuum cleaner. Okay. And I bought it. Oh. And I put it in downstairs. And when the kids got up that morning, they were like, oh, my God. Because it was huge, huge box. Go, what is this? It's amazing. And her mother and father were there. And everybody was there. Go, this is amazing. She looked excited. When she's going, she opened it up and she looked at me. And I said, can I swear on radio? No.
Well, you can use the S word. Okay,
you bought me a... and vacuum cleaner in front of her parents. The
and
kids
went, not just any vacuum cleaner,
an ash vacuum cleaner. And it broke, but we bought a new one. But yeah, so
the book is full of those kinds of stories.
Yeah, and just stuff, the stories that I liked writing about really was stories I'd sent to my friends. And they go, that didn't happen. It generally is a lot worse than that. My favourite story, because it brought me back to the town of Dundalk when I tried to dye my own hair with a bottle of Parazone.
Oh, here, we need
Parazone.
Yeah, I'm putting down the guitar.
Yeah. Can the disco music continue or do we change it?
Yeah, you can change it.
Okay.
Have you any Dundalk music?
No, but I've got something dramatic.
Okay. It was 1997. A young boy left County Laois, a virgin. He got the bus to Bus Horus and then got a train called the Enterprise to Dundalk. The Enterprise went into space. And also stopped on the border for passports. He got off in Dundalk and did not know where he was going. He eventually found his rhythm in life and found something very special in Dundalk called harp. Which was very cheap because it was brewed in the town. He drank a substantial amount of harp and ended up with a yeast infection, even though he thought it was an STI. He went to the nurse and said, you can't have an STI because you never had sex. So I was in a nightclub, it's gone now, in Dundalk called The Ark.
The Ark, yeah.
Where they selected two animals of every kind. I was kissing a girl. Shifting a girl, if you're not from Ireland, that's a goal in 2 points. And shifting a girl, and I'd never been with a girl before, ever. And she brought me out and she said, here, we can go home to my house. And I was going, oh my God, I'm getting to go home with an actual real woman. And we went out to the side of the taxi rank in Dundalk Courthouse, and the lights were on, and she saw me. She went, oh, here, have you read here? And I went, yeah. She went, sorry, don't do Genghis.
Oh my God.
Right? That's got into the car and left me. It is racist. Yeah. If it was now, I'd be having one of your rants about it.
Yeah.
But so that next day I decided it was a craze in the 90s to dye your hair blonde. Mm. You know, all the bands had it. So I said,
Robbie Williams did it.
Yes, I'm doing that. I'm going blonde. So I went into a barber shop on the Avenue Road in Dundalk, and which was a mistake. He actually started laughing at me. Because like Staunton in the World Cup, is it? Hey, with the blonde hair. Yeah, maybe. He goes, and then do you know the friend that comes into the barber shop that's just a friend and never gets his hair? He's just he started laughing at me. He's going, oh, you've nothing to do with this. So he sent me to a hairdresser's, which is still there in Dundalk. And I walked in. I hadn't been in a hairdresser since I'd go as a toddler with my mum to get my hair cut, right? So I went in, and to me it looked like all the women were supermodels, right? And the receptionist was just like from a different world, right? I was 17, right? Yeah. And I said to her, says, oh, I'm going to get my hair dyed blonde. Hey, hold on, wait a second. I was there for about 10 minutes, man. Get out of here. Just leave the place. So then eventually the owner came out and goes, what's the problem here? Son, do you want to dye your hair blonde? And I said, yeah, yeah. She says, you have beautiful hair. And straight away I went, oh my God, I'm being mothered. It's the first time away from home. And then she says, hold on. I said, Catherine. And then Catherine came out and she goes, tell him his hair is lovely. There's women in there that would love that colour. I tell you. And I said, yeah, that's the problem. Women want it. And then Catherine, who was only trying to be nice, said to me, goes, do you know what? I have a son with red hair and he got married. As if red hair men can get married.
It is a perfectly normal life.
And then the owner said to me, I don't want you walking out of here and buying a bottle of bleach and trying to do it yourself. And went, that's what you do.
Oh, God.
Bought a bottle of bleach in Tesco's, the old Tesco's, and went in and put bleach into my hair in a house in Dundalk called Park Phyllis, where my friends were from. It was a student house at the time. Now I think I walked past it recently, it's lovely, it's done up, there's a family in it, but at the time it was colder on the inside than on the outside.
Right.
They had no hot water, and but the next thing I felt this burning, I mean this insatiable burning, and I got into their shower, which was freezing cold, and I was totally naked, and I went blind.
Oh my God.
I went blind for 12, 13 hours.
Oh my God.
But you know when you're 17, you're just hanging out with other 17-year-olds. No one says go to the hospital or...
Yeah.
And they go... So the no Googles. Go, you'd be grand. So then eventually I had to put my clothes on and one of them walked me back to... And I was in a bed blind. I woke up the next morning and I was burning. Now I could see, but I was burning. My hair was still red. All my pubic hair, blonde.
There's the disco music. Bernard Shea, we have to let you go. Thank you very much. Get his book, My Wife Married a Feckin' Agent. And also, you're doing Vodafone Comedy Carnival.
Yes, I'm going down there Friday, Saturday. Watch out, alcohol. Here I go.
That all happens in Galway. Lock up your daughters.
Buy the book. It's one of those books you can buy and slip it under the paper if you're embarrassed to buy it.
Somebody wants to know, are you going to do an audio book? They want you to tell all the stories.
I am going to do an audio book.
Excellent. Great idea.
Yes.
Right, time for Thanks, Brother. This is our homegrown hero, Dermot and Dave, on Today FM. Roisin and John, Call It Love on Today FM. Thanks, Bernard.
No, thank you, Dave.